Welcome to the Finding Grace in the Wilderness podcast. I'm your host, Sharon Hawkins. Here each week, we will share stories about how God's grace can be found during life's most difficult circumstances. Meet with me around the table as we chat about God's never-ending faithfulness. We will share truth and life and discuss faith, fears, struggles, and victories. Join us as we seek to grow deeper in relationship with Jesus, the one who makes a way in the wilderness and rivers in the desert. Hi, and welcome back, friends. Today, I want to share with you about my friend Kathy McCormick. Kathy has been a dear friend for many years. She is truly someone who has found grace in the wilderness. Today, I'd like to share an article that she wrote for our Grace in the Wilderness newsletter back in 2012. It was entitled, A Gift from the Sea. I was blessed to have a friend offer me a lovely villa in Venice, Florida for a month. I was beside myself with joy and in need of some beach time to sit on the beach, hang my Do Not Disturb sign on my big toe, and just sit and simply contemplate the ocean, the waves, and the sky. The ocean is my special place. It's the place I go when I need to think, when I need to recharge my batteries, when I need to be still and listen. For the last year and a half, I have been in desperate anticipation. A month at the beach. Wow. Oh my. A whole delicious, relaxing, recharging month. So I packed up my summer clothes, my Kindle, my Bible, and my Bible study, my trusty travel companion, Harry the Toy Poodle, arranged for one of my church angels to feed and water my outside cats, and off I went. What freedom I felt as I drove through the countryside on my way to Florida. Oh my, I told myself as I crossed into Florida, I did it. I can go anywhere I want. It's amazing how God works. I arrive in Venice. I knew that the first week of my visit would be hectic as I was helping my aunt pull off a surprise 80th birthday party for my uncle. And yes, it was hectic, busy, and also a lot of fun. In fact, I was having so much fun that the party, or partying, went on for another 10 days. I was the belle of the ball, so to speak. I was going out every day and every night. Sunset on the beach, dinner out, or at a friend's house, a gathering of people, going to listen to live music, etc. Wow! For a woman who just spent the last year and a half either in the hospital with her husband or at home, I felt like I had gone from 0 to 180 miles per hour in 10 seconds flat. It was fun, I have to admit it, but something interesting happened. I started to recognize that something huge was missing from my life and that I wasn't enjoying my recreating anymore. I felt empty. Sure, there were a lot of people around me, but I began to realize that God, faith, spirit were never a part of the conversation, that I was spending no time in quiet thought. I was not spending any time with my God. I realized that what I was sorely, painfully, ashamedly missing, what I had come to Florida for, quiet time to be with my God. I have to laugh when I look back on this time. I was being such a wild child. I left Pickens, South Carolina, armed with the best of intentions, to get some much-needed R&R, relaxation and recreation. I hit the border of Florida, and just like when I was a teenager, my first reaction was, I am free. I am out here in the world, and the world is my oyster. So what do I do with my freedom? Do I use the newfound freedom from caregiving and grief to seek quiet reflection and divine direction? No. Just like a teenager, I choose to cut loose and played, and had myself a good old time. Oh my, my vacation time was running out. I'm panicking. I am angry with myself. I've wasted my time. I've wasted this opportunity. I can't go home in the same shape I arrived. I need to know the answers to the questions that have been plaguing me since my husband died. Oh God, what have I done? Like a teenager who is cut loose and realizes she has strayed too far from home, my Heavenly Father gathered me into His arms sweetly and reminded me that He was waiting for me and that all I needed to do was to choose to be still and He'll talk to me. 1 Kings 19:11-13 talks to us about how God speaks to us. We might expect that it would be a booming, thundering voice, but here we read that God did not speak to Elijah through the violent wind or the fire, but through a gentle whisper. Recognizing that this type A do-everything-for-everyone-else person that I am needs solitude to really disconnect, I decided to make an investment in myself. I found a little house on the beach and rented it for 10 days and moved myself in, my trusty dog and my unopened Bible and Bible study. I moved into this little house by the sea. This is where I came face to face with myself. Upon my arrival at my perfect little beach house, my perfect little beach, my perfect opportunity to disconnect from the world, guess what happened? There I was, the I being the woman who did not know what to do with herself unless she was busy doing for others. Did I enter my perfect haven, ready to be quiet, to be still? No, I panicked. I kept thinking about what errands I needed to run, what chores I should be doing. Was there anything I needed to do or should be doing for someone else? With no real errands to run, with no chores to be done, with no one I knew anywhere around, guess what happened? I was quiet enough to hear my God talking to me. Be still and know that I am God. Psalm 46:10. The most incredible thing happened to me. I became quiet. I stopped rushing around trying to do. I finally realized I had to stop doing and just be. Oh, the gifts that came pouring over me once I became still. Uninterrupted Bible study. Time to reflect on the message God wanted to etch upon my heart. The gentle reminder that, like the sea, life ebbs and flows. Peace. What God wanted me to know was that I was not stuck, that I was not lost, that I am simply in the middle time. Psalm 126 talks about the middle times in our lives. When the Lord brought back the captives to Zion, we were like men who dreamed. Our mouths were filled with laughter, our tongues with songs of joy. Then it was said among the nations, "The Lord has done great things for them. The Lord has done great things for us, and we are filled with joy. Restore our fortunes, O Lord, like streams in the Negev. Those who sow in tears will reap with songs of joy. He who goes out weeping, carrying seed to sow, will return with songs of joy, carrying sheaves with him." In the first half of the psalm, the psalmist testifies that God had done something wonderful, dramatic, and gracious in the past. In the second half of the psalm, he petitions God to do it again. Oh my goodness, talk about my heart opening wide, my mind opening wider, and a huge light bulb going off. That was the problem. I've been living in the middle times. The time between a good time remembered and another good time hoped for. That described me to a T. My life was like a diagram, with good time remembered on one side, when God lifted me up off my knees and carried me through the storm of my husband's illness, and on the other side, the good time hoped for. The good time hoped for is a desire to transform my loss into a purpose. The middle, well, that is no man's land. It is lonely, helpless, scary, and dark. But my Bible study told me to read Jeremiah 29:11, "For I know the plans I have for you." Oh, be still my heart. I understood immediately what God was telling me. In that very instant, I felt lighter. I felt purposeful. I knew I wasn't alone. I knew my life has a purpose and that I am not the person to decide that purpose. That God is leading me to that purpose right this very second. Oh, how my heart is singing. Oh, how the joy and excitement of what is coming next in my life overwhelms me. I remember when Kathy wrote this. I can't believe that it's been 12 years. Not long after this, she decided that God was leading her to live in Florida, and to the sadness of all her friends in South Carolina, she bought a house in Florida and planted herself firmly in the community. She went searching for a church. All of us prayed for her to find a tribe like she had back home. She visited a lot of different churches. She moved a couple of times. She was in the middle time for quite a while. Maybe God was waiting to see how very badly she wanted it, or maybe he was just growing her to trust him during this time. God finally led her to Port Charlotte, Florida, where she lives today. She found that tribe at New Day Christian Church. I met some of her tribe, and I have to say, they far exceed our expectations as we were praying for her. She has a wonderful group of women who love her, whose lives she has impacted. They all love each other, and they're there for each other. You can't possibly ask for more than that in a Christian sister. She's been heavily involved in the women's ministry, mentoring, and has been in leadership of a small group. She's also taught the preschoolers, first grade and kindergarten. She has found her next good times hoped for and has been flourishing in that season. She's the type of person that everybody wants to know and everyone wishes they had for a friend. I am blessed to say that she is my closest friend. Even though she's been gone from South Carolina for many years, we have maintained a long-distance relationship. Through those days, we have had weekly FaceTime visits. It's been a real example of iron sharpening iron. I've seen Kathy pour out everything that she is into the women at Port Charlotte. She is an encourager to the core, and she has impacted many lives during these years. One of Kathy's friends expressed to me her gratitude for how Kathy had been there for her during the illness and death of her husband. Kathy drew on her experience from caring for and losing her husband and sewed that into the life of her friend. And they have become so close because of this. What a real gift. What a blessing. Now Kathy is facing a new chapter. While she has been there for so many people in need, many with health issues, now is the time that she is facing those health issues herself. Along with other health issues, she is now in a serious cancer battle. Can I just say, I hate cancer. I am recording this podcast from her home in Florida right now, but by the time I release it, I will be back home in South Carolina. It has been one of the greatest blessings of my life to be here with her for the last 10 days, to share with her and to care for her during this time in her life. Even though she is very weak, she still has the bright light of Jesus shining through her life. I guess she really listened to him in that little beach house 12 years ago when he called her to new things. She could have sat down after her husband passed away and said, "I've done enough," but she didn't. She kept seeking that next good time hoped for, and now it is a good time remembered. For children of God, there is never a time to quit seeking Him and working for Him until He calls us home. When I think of all the lives she's impacted in these years and the difference she's made because she didn't sit down, it inspires me more than I can say. During these years when she's had these health issues, her ministry has still continued. Now she ministers to the doctors and the nurses and brightens the days of those healthcare professionals that she has encountered over the last few years as her health has declined. Always on mission. Always following Christ. Always pouring Him out on others. That's what we're all supposed to be doing. And she is truly an inspiration to me and so many others. I would ask that you would pray for my friend Kathy. We all go through different seasons of our lives. There are many before dates. This was life before this happened. There are many markers, and those marks leave deep places burned into our hearts and souls because of deep hardship. Ecclesiastes 3 says, "To everything there is a season, and a time to every purpose under the heaven. A time to be born and a time to die. A time to plant and a time to pluck up that which is planted. A time to kill and a time to heal. A time to break down and a time to build up. A time to weep and a time to laugh. A time to mourn and a time to dance. A time to cast away stones and a time to gather stones together. A time to embrace and a time to refrain from embracing. A time to get and a time to lose. A time to keep and a time to cast away. A time to rend and a time to sow. A time to keep silent and a time to speak. A time to love and a time to hate. A time of war and a time of peace." I believe that our lives are like a big parade, and our Heavenly Father sees it all. He sees the beginning, the middle, and the end, all at the same time. He has a plan for our parade route, and when we veer from that, sometimes we need to have a come-to-Jesus meeting like Kathy did at that beach house that day. God loves us so much, and He does have a plan, as Kathy said. Romans 11:36 says, "For from Him, and through Him, and for Him are all things. To Him be the glory forever. Amen." All we have to do is ask Him. Only what we do for Jesus endures the passage of time. One day, everything else will be burned away. No matter what part of life, no matter what season we're in, our Heavenly Father is always right there waiting for us to be still and know that He is God. No matter what the question is, Jesus is the answer. Psalm 16:11 says, "You make known to me the path of life. In your presence there is fullness of joy. At your right hand are pleasures forevermore." There's never a time along our journey that He's not there waiting for us to be still and know that He is God, so He can give us more direction on what's next. The best way to live is one moment at a time, as He leads us and guides us and holds us safely in the palm of His hand. It's the only way to truly ever find grace in the wilderness. Thank you for listening to this episode of Finding Grace in the Wilderness. Please like and subscribe to support the growth of the ministry, and so you don't miss a single episode. Check out SharonHawkins.net for show notes, or to contact me about speaking engagements, or find out more information about how to support Grace in the Wilderness Ministries. May God lead you safely through your wilderness as you trust Him, and may His river of grace always flood your desert times. He is doing a new thing. Let's not miss it. See you here next week.